Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Have you ever been overwhelmed? I think in the last few weeks, many of us can say we've experienced moments of being overwhelmed as we've tried to live in the midst of all that's happened in the last 3 months or so. I can think of a couple of times in my life, pretty readily, of times I was overwhelmed. One was actually in the summer of 1989, which seems like another lifetime ago now, but I had just finished my first year of divinity school at Vanderbilt, which was overwhelming enough in itself. Kyle, our oldest son, was just over a year old. I was doing CPE, which stands for Clinical Pastoral Education, at the VA hospital in Nashville. A CPE intensive meant that I was working for 40 hours a week for 11 weeks that summer, and in this case, as a chaplain at the hospital, at the VA. But there was much more involved than simply visiting patients. CPE involves theological discussion, classroom work, but mostly it's peers and supervisors pushing buttons you didn't know you had, or pushing buttons you didn't want pushed. I was commuting 130 miles round trip from Scottsville to Nashville every day. I was pastoring three churches. I was overwhelmed. Tammy and I will celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary tomorrow. We were only 10 when we married. And during these last 40 years, that summer of 1989 has been one of the most difficult stretches in our marriage. One definition of being overwhelmed means to be buried underneath a mass of debris. And I was buried underneath the demands of being a husband, a young father, a pastor, a student. I was stressed, I was afraid, I was exhausted physically, mentally, spiritually. I was overwhelmed. The disciples must have been overwhelmed on the day of Pentecost. Just as we think about all that they had been through, just in the previous 2 months, they had experienced the highs and lows of what we call Holy Week, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the Last Supper, Judas's betrayal, Jesus' arrest, Peter's denial, the crucifixion, the resurrection. Then came Jesus' words of commissioning that the disciples were to go to the ends of the earth and to be His witnesses, no small task in itself. They had watched Jesus ascend into the clouds, and now they were alone as they waited for the Holy Spirit. These men and women must have been stressed, they must have been afraid, and they must have been exhausted. They must have been feeling inadequate for the task ahead. As they watched Jesus ascend, they must have felt alone, much like they did on the day of the crucifixion. They were completely unaware of what was awaiting them on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples were all together in one place. Can you imagine the conversations they were having? How in the world are we going to do this? We can't do what Jesus did. I don't have the ability to be Jesus' witness here, much less to the ends of the earth. I wonder what it's going to be like when the Holy Spirit comes. And then the curtains begin to sway gently in the breeze. The candles are blown out. The morning paper's blown off the table. And they hear a sound. A sound that crescendos into the sound of a violent wind that fills the entire house. And with the wind come tongues of fire that rest on each of them, and they are filled. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. The very presence of God fills their lives. The wind is reminiscent of the wind of God that blew across chaos in the creation. Fire signifies the presence of God, as in the burning bush, and the candles that we light every Sunday morning signify to us the presence of God. And so the disciples were filled with the very presence of God in their lives, and they began to speak in languages not of their native tongue, but in the language of all of those in Jerusalem that day. But what was just as remarkable is that Peter, the one who had denied knowing Jesus, now with the presence of the Spirit in his life, stood and boldly proclaimed to the crowd the message of Christ. And on that day, 3,000 were added to their number. The Holy Spirit had given the disciples their voice. The Spirit had given them their voice, both literally and figuratively. They had had the voice to speak in other languages, and Peter had the courage to stand in what was a hostile environment and proclaim the message of Christ. If you keep on reading Acts, and we will over the next few weeks, you will see that the Spirit gave these early believers their voice. Gave them their voice as they cared for widows, as they accepted the Gentiles, as they were willing to go through extreme hardships and even death for the sake of Christ. The Spirit gave them their voice to be Christ's witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They were Christ's witnesses in both words and in action. Pentecost is often referred to as the birth of the church, not the institutional church that we know today, but rather the church as individual believers who make up the body of Christ. For the church is not a place. It's not this building that we're in, this place that we come to worship, for we are the church. And that's been demonstrated over the last few weeks when we've not been able to come to this place. For we are the church by the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, just as on that first Pentecost. Do you know the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Some of you may be waiting for Pentecost, for that kind of experience, the rushing wind, the tongues of fire, some extraordinary display of power. And the Pentecost experience may be the case for some, but for most of us, it's more the Elijah experience. Do you remember Elijah? He was called and instructed to go to the mountain to meet God. There was a great wind, an earthquake, and a fire, but God was not in any of those dramatic events. And then the Scripture says that after the fire, the sound of sheer silence. And then came the voice of the Lord. And most often the voice of the Lord comes to us in the sheer silence. However, the Holy Spirit is the very presence of God. Whether it comes as it did on the day of Pentecost or whether it comes in sheer silence, the Spirit gives us our voice. The Spirit gives us our voice to be Christ's witnesses to the ends of the earth. And sometimes our voice, sometimes it's our words when we can share our experience of God and what God has done in our lives. And we share our experience, not some theological argument. And we share that story in humility. We do have opportunities in our lives, if we will take them, to share our experience of God. Sometimes our voice is in our actions. St. Francis said that we are to always proclaim the gospel and, if necessary, use words. Our voice is most usually heard the loudest through our actions, not our words. And oftentimes our actions can betray our words. Our actions can reveal a lack of authenticity in our words when we say one thing but act differently. When we say we love but we reject, when we say we have mercy but we condemn, then our actions betray our words and reveal the true intent of our heart. But the Holy Spirit working in our lives can help our words be authenticated through our actions. More importantly than giving voice to individuals, the Holy Spirit also gives voice to communities of faith. The Holy Spirit gave Middletown its voice when a few years ago members had a vision to form the Lighthouse, to be a major center for ministries in an underserved area of our city. The Holy Spirit gave Middletown its voice when the mobile medical unit became a reality. The Holy Spirit gave Middletown its voice when we packed backpacks of food for elementary school children. Middletown's welcoming spirit on Sunday morning is the Holy Spirit giving voice. May the Holy Spirit give us as individuals and as a community of faith, may it give us our voice to speak to the turmoil of our city and to help work toward peace and justice and understanding. The Holy Spirit is giving us our voice, a voice to be Christ's witness to the ends of the world. And may our voice be authentic. May our actions never betray our voice. The Holy Spirit has come, and the Holy Spirit will give us voice if we listen. Where will our voice be heard next? Where will our voice as individuals be heard next? Where will our voice as a congregation be heard next? For the Holy Spirit will give us voice if we have the courage to follow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.